Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just tell stories, we ask why they matter. Because the truth is, everyone has a story, but not everyone stops long enough to understand it, to see the patterns, to recognize the lessons, to pull meaning out of what they have lived. And the people who do, they don't just experience life, they translate it. And God has a way of using your life to teach you something deeper. So if you're paying attention, today we're talking about story perspective and what it actually takes to turn life into something meaningful. Today's guest is Nancy Ensley. She is a writer who draws from real life, real observation, and real human experience to create stories that actually resonate. Hello, Nancy. Thank you so much for coming into the hot seat.
Hello, Brandon.
Nice to
Thanks.
have
Thanks
you.
for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I launch everybody from kind of the same question. I've heard it's a pretty uncomfortable question, but I'm doing it anyway. So,
Fine.
give us your elevator pitch. Who are you? What is your origin story? And tell us what makes you special.
All right. Let me tell you, I'm trying to hold it down because I've been around for a while. I was raised in a very toxic atmosphere, yet still loved, which is such a paradox. So I think I drew from all of that. I started to read when I was four. My parents, we didn't have much money, so they threw newspapers and books at me. I thought, well, there's something there. So I took the letters and asked questions. So that's that start of me. I had PTSD. I had abandonment issues. All the big words that the psychologists say. And I didn't go to see anyone until my early 20s. I had this part of me that loved reading. I loved reading the words. And when I did, I could go somewhere else. I could be somewhere else. There's a big difference, Brandon, between hearing and listening. I hear you, but I also listen because I'm looking at you, your smile, your face, your calming. All of that is very important about conversations that you have with yourself. So that started my building blocks. I moved from that to wanting to excel in everything. I wanted the feeling of not being worthy to go away. So when I played a joke, when I acted on stage, I tried out for things. I was always afraid, but I did it. I took risks. Thank God, the faith that I had. I thought Jesus was my buddy. And so I'd ask him questions and he'd say, go do it. Just try
That's
it.
how it works.
It is. It is. And without expectations, okay, that's the difference between failing and moving forward. If you don't say I enter a contest, like a writing contest, and they pay no attention to it, I think it's wonderful. I've passed it on to friends and family. Am I going to stop? Am I never going to try a contest again? No, I made myself to do the risk. So that's kind of how I was built. Overachiever. And at times intimidating other people. I didn't know that until kind of late 40s, that you can be intimidating because you overperform and everyone else looks like they aren't. So you can do that as well. So writing books. I was 8 years old when I wrote poetry. I loved music. My mother was a graduate of Juilliard and she was a concert pianist. She was amazing. She was abused a lot, but she never ever, she used her sense of humor, her positive attitude, I think her talent, the music in her heart. So I wanted to be like that. So that was real important. So I try to take a risk and go forward from there. So I started writing when I was eight. I always wanted to go up to the board and write something. Then I didn't have to feel that everybody was watching me. They were, but I would go up in Catholic school. They taught me that I couldn't use my left hand. You're always supposed to write with your right hand. So I really had to struggle with that. So I got very careful in my writing. So that was one thing that I had to worry about. So I thought I'm going to practice a lot so I can write with my right hand. So I did. I wrote little stories. My mother used to write poetry and she'd leave it for us. So I always had that talent. My father was a photographer. He worked for the government and he was an amazing photographer. He could catch the moment and could catch the person's how they were feeling very well. And it was black and white at the time, all those years ago. Okay, what did I do in my life that made a difference that I can help people? Take a risk, as be careful when you do it. Make sure you do research, because when I began to formulate actual manuscripts, the first one was my memoir. I had started that 20 years ago, and after about 10 years, I hid it. I went through a period of time that was very bad for me and my family. And I had to do a lot of healing from that, support groups, all of that. And it's taught me a lot of lessons. So I had my manuscript. I pulled it out in my early 40s and I said, I need to write it. At first, I had called it The Closet. And that sounded so eerie to me. I didn't want it to be a murder mystery. It sounded, ooh. So I renamed it The Tire Swing. And the reason I did, there's a poem that I wrote, and I lived with my grandmother. Whenever my mother and father were apart or left, or I didn't know where they were, we stayed with my grandmother. She was from Hungary. She was very strict. She was very loving. And she taught me that you work. And when you work, you bless it. You're happy, no matter whether it's the kind of work you want to do or not. I've always had a great work ethic. Because of her, even my parents, they always went to work. They had a cold and went to work. My mother used to say, "Oh, you have a cold," and her treatment was an enema and an aspirin.
There you
So
go.
we'd go to school or to work. So I worked even since I was 10 years old. I w worked on a farm, so I always had work to do. And I thought, I don't know what to do with my thoughts or feelings. So I used to start journaling. And I used those journals in The Tire Swing, which was my memoir. So I thought I'll get that published. And I sent in a query. There's queries that you send in to traditional publishers, and they
Nancy, I queried for 10 years. I'm with you. I
oh
get
my, isn't that a that's a job. Isn't that? And you always think, oh, okay, it has to be one page. And then you have to find out what the publisher likes. Do they like sci-fi? Do they want,
Oh, it's a whole thing.
it is the whole thing. You almost have to know the person that you're, and how do you send it? Do they want the whole manuscript? Do they want a summary? So that's a piece of work. And I've
And
sent in, I
all
don't
of
even.
that to hear no about a million times. That was my experience of just like
I
tough
know.
skin. I got some tough skin.
Gives you wrinkles. You don't have any, but it gives you
It
wrinkles.
does.
I had two queries that I do recall. One was for orphans, because that's a young adult terrorist story is what it is, about two boys. And I thought, that's a good adventure. They want adventures. And I did get a recognition for that, and she wanted me to send in a summary of the first three chapters.
Nice.
So I did the best summary I could think of, and never heard of from her again. And I thought, oh, I must be a terrible writer. And I stopped that. I said, I always think of my faith as Jesus saying, stop beating up yourself. Don't do that. Just learn from it. What did I miss? Did I send too much, or didn't I summarize it right? So that I got recognized. I also got a recognition for Mitered Corners, which is a murderous mystery. It's a mystery about crossing the line. It has a lot of stories from the nurses that I worked with. I'm a registered nurse, and they said, "Let me tell you, I want to tell you this story." And there was a murder that happened near at our hospital at one point in time in the 60s. So I did get an answer. I got two answers from that one after I sent in my summary. I thought, I'm going to publish.
That's it, yeah.
And she said, well, at this moment, at this moment, I'm looking at another genre. I'm going to look at children's books. Oh, I thought, okay, well, Mitered Horners is not, neither is The Tire Swing. So I thought, okay, I can write a children's book.
Yeah.
I have 14 grandchildren, Brandon,
Wow.
and 14 grandchildren. I have five and a half, five and a half great grandchildren. I
Wow.
love kids. I taught high school. I taught adults. So I have a teaching degree too. So I thought, you can write that.
Yeah.
So I did. I did. And I've sent that in as well. And I self-published almost all my books until the last two, the sci-fi book that I did. And I finally found a, there are different types of publishing companies. There's the
Yeah.
traditional, there is a hybrid though.
Yes.
And I take it Writer's Digest, which is very helpful, but it kind of put down the hybrid, or be careful when you do it. But this particular publishing company has been great with me, taught me. They had rebranded my books and re-edited them.
Wow.
You have to learn to take criticism, don't you?
Yes.
Oh.
All that rejection builds you up for the criticism, though. I feel like, a decade of no and then someone criticizes it doesn't hurt as much. You're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I me too. I'm kind of expect a lot of it's grammatical, but this particular one had great comments, and every once in a while there was a comment, and they're like, "This is amazing," and boy, does that feed you? It's like having dessert all the time, a bad dinner but a good dessert. So I know you know how that feels. So now I'm very excited. I never thought I could write sci-fi and all those things. I was reading your comments in here and what you like at the, at a podcast. I mean, I've been this person that's an author, an entrepreneur. I've had two businesses, creator. I always creating something. I never was good at art. My sister, who did that cover for Tire Swing, is a fabulous artist. I can't even draw a good stick man, but my talent is otherwise. Leader, yes, I never wanted to be a leader, Brandon. I didn't. But somehow there's something about me that they pushed me into leadership roles. And once I got it, I thought, this is fun. This is exciting.
That's how I feel about having an interview show. I never wanted to do it. I'm
You
like,
didn't?
never, ever, ever. And God is
Really?
like, yeah, you're doing it. And I'm like, no. And here I am, and it's the greatest thing. I have the most fun, getting to meet incredible people. And your story is no, sh it's nothing short of that. I mean, you have done so many things. I working in fields that obviously require that deep empathy. Just in that space alone, like what if people taught you about human nature in all of those experiences that you've had?
Being a nurse and being a teacher, both of those, and also now being a counselor as well. There, let's see, it's like looking for gold. You get through, there's a lot of sand. First of all, you have to dig there, and you have to find a way to, like, you're bonding with me. I love your smile. I love how you greeted me, and you're allowing me to babble on. And that's wonderful. So you have to be able to look at the person. You have to be able to listen to them. Let them know what you think they said to you. That feedback from someone, if we forget to, we're moving on to the next thing. And I think a lot of times my children said, "Don't give advice, Mom. Don't do that." And I said, "Okay, I won't. I promise." And so it's in there and hard to hold back. And I said, "Would you let, it sounds like you would like my opinion." And so I've learned that with other people. So there's a gem in every part of that. There can be a little tiniest piece of gold. You got to look for it. And sometimes very hard to see, especially with people that have emotional and mental and addiction problems. I coach. I've been through that myself, and I coach women and men mostly women, in that area. And oh my word, there's stories in there. I said, you could write a book. I say that to a lot of people. Everyone has, don't you feel that everyone has a story they could tell?
That's why I have the show, because I watch these incredible people sitting on their story. And this is what I know to be true, Nancy, is that, God created us very specific, very intentional. So what I went through, no one else can duplicate that. And there's someone out there that needs my experience, that needs my story, so they know what's possible. Every single one of us have that. We have
Oh.
that. And I just am like, why are you sitting on this? Like, this is the magic. This is where life happens. And it's all of that, right? It's like even the ugly parts, like the addictions and the crappy childhoods and all these things that we just like keep in this tiny little shame box all to ourselves. And I'm like, for what? If you let it out, that's part of the healing process for one. Can we talk about this stuff? And that growth, it's just we, how else are we going to make an impact? That was part of our human experience. We want to be here in the mess, and we're in the arena. Like, it's never going to be perfect. Life's still lifing, right? Like, stuff is still happening. And I just think people like you, shows like this, getting people to actually tell their story. And you're correct. Everyone has a book in them. Everyone has a book in them.
They do. And so many people say, I'm sure have said to you, I can't afford to
Yes.
self-publish. I can't
Often.
afford it. There are a couple of websites. Well, Legacy was one of them that
Yeah.
I ghostwrite for several people. I don't know, isn't that fun? Oh my word.
You know,
Have you
this
ever
is the
done that?
thing. I have not, and I've asked, people have asked me if I would do it, and I say no, because this is the thing, Nancy, like writing to me is very, it's very intimate and personal. Like, even so much as if I type up a Facebook post and I put my heart into that and I see someone like use it as their own, I block them. I get so mad. I'm like, those are my words. Like, why are you taking my words? Ghostwriting would drive me insane, because that my words are so, I don't know if it, maybe it's a toxic relationship, but I'm not going to let someone else use my words, not with my permission. But
Okay.
I admire that you could do that. I love that.
I have done that with friends, close friends, not anyone I do, well, anyone I don't know well.
Yeah.
And I do limit. I said, I want you to tell your story in your words.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a woman, she's brilliant, she's a
Yeah.
PhD nurse. She got Parkinson's, MS, and Alzheimer's. Unbelievable.
That's a
And
hell of
she
a
talked.
trifecta.
It is a trifecta. It's
Oh.
horrible. But she kept one part of her memory, all the books she read, and her education as a PhD. She has a vocabulary to die for. It's a dictionary. And her family, after she needed to tell her story before she dies.
Yeah.
She's actively dying now. And I said, okay, I'll help you do that. I said, these are going to be your
I
words.
love
I
that.
will make them, I'll put them into the story. And her family hid it. They wouldn't open it. And hopefully they'll open the manuscript.
Yeah.
She didn't get it published traditionally, but
Yeah.
so that I
It's
try to
still
help
there.
people in that part of
Yeah.
counseling in that way.
I love
So, but
that.
I understand, believe me,
Yeah.
because it's, look how good I wrote. This is how
Yeah.
I told your story.
Right.
But it's interesting. It's
Yeah.
another risk
I
to
love that.
take.
Where do you think people are really missing the meaning in their own lives, Nancy?
As you said, holding the things that make them who they are, not even able to recognize that or take the risk because they're afraid. I having all of the jobs that I've had in the professions I've been in, it's fear. Fear is based on so many, I mean, it's the basis of things. And I asked people to journal. I said, if you're afraid, just journal. You don't have to show anyone, but you'd be surprised when you put it down on paper. I was just writing something here just to talk about,
Yeah.
and I thought, yeah, that's what you mean. That's what you mean to say. Not here, it's there. And fear is blocking you. So I think that blocks people from who would try to do new jobs that they had never done before. Just try it. I taught a coding class. It's medical coding. It's boring, and it's a new language. Okay, it's like teaching Spanish to someone. And a friend of mine, I said, "You have such a talent with people. It's wonderful. I don't know anything. I never did good in school." I said, "Try my class," and so she did. She was amazing. And I said, "You could do this. You could get a job as I'm not. I can't. I'll never. They'll never know. I'm too scared of doctors. I just won't do that. I can't work with doctors." I said, "Yes, you can work with anybody," but that fear. I think fear blocks people. Illnesses such as mental illness, emotional problems. There's a lot of fear of going to a counselor to find out. Sometimes I believe you probably believe this too, that you hold on to something to hold you back because it's safe there. Even if it's a toxic situation, that's why women, a lot of times battered women, stay in it because they know what's going to happen. Even if it's bad. So they cordon themselves off. Some have mental and physical things that would stop them. But it's amazing what you can even do. There was a young man I treated in the hospital. He had cerebral palsy, adult cerebral palsy. He had had it most of his life and into his adulthood. I said, You are such a good artist. You appreciate colors and forms and things. He would try to draw with he had a, like electrical things that he could use his hands. He could speak and interpret things. I said, "Oh, would you help me? Would you do a design of a hawk for me in my book?" He did it. I put his name in the book. He helped me, and I helped whatever I sold, he got part of it. And he blossomed. He got a position as an artist, drawing decals and emojis. Even with a physical problem, it's amazing what you can do. I had a bad accident 3 years ago, and my back was crippled so bad. I had to do a lot of surgery. And I kind of went into a little, I don't know what it was,
A
a
human
little
slump. A
human
slump.
slump. It was a human slump. I didn't even write. I didn't even do the things I love. And one day, I don't know what it was that triggered it. I saw the garbage truck go by. My little grandson, great grandson, loves garbage truck. And he'd say, "Dump truck, dump truck." And I thought he got excited about the garbage truck. Why am I sitting here, not watching the birds, not smelling the flowers, and concentrating on what I lost? And I have told people all through my life, don't do that. Put that in a box. You'll need it. You need to understand it. And that day, the garbage truck somehow got me. Come on, you can walk. Can't walk as far. I used to walk 2 miles a day. Can't walk. So I walked to the mailboxes, held on to them, walked to the next mailbox, held on to it. You never know. And then I got to see people that I hadn't seen. So slumps, sometimes you need a slump. I'm sure you've had those slumps, and the people listening, sometimes you can use them positively. A time to reflect, and kind of meditate on what you're going to do the rest of your life. So now I'm doing a podcast, trying to write a screenplay, doing an audio book. I've never done that. Working on a computer that scares me to death if I miss something. Oh my goodness. But I'm learning, and I'm almost 85, but I still have some brain cells left, and I want to keep them working. So,
There's
yeah.
so much that I want to just unpack here, Nancy. I wish I'd have been writing down questions because, first of all, I just am mesmerized by you. Like, when I grow up, I want to be like you because
Oh
you do all the things.
no.
Like, this is, something I've heard my whole life is, people have tried to put me in a box. You have to niche down, you have to stay here, you can write. just stick in this air, you're just trying to package me up. And I'm like, no, I can do everything, and I will.
Good
I
for
could do
you.
the podcast, I could write the books, I could do the code, I could do it all, and I'm going to do it all. And you're literally doing it all. And you just told us you're 85,
Yeah,
and
going, yes.
I've got
And I'm,
people that I talk to in their 50s that give me excuses all day long about why they can't. And this again is why I love this show, because I mean, I just had a guest on who had cerebral palsy, like had speech issues, but I brought in captions. I made sure to repeat what he was saying. His story still got across, and I still got people that are scared to come here. I just am so I'm enamored by you. I think this is amazing, and you're doing those things. I think another thing that I love is that you have that faith. And you were talking a second ago about how fear is kind of what stops people. And that was always my excuse too, right? Like that fear, not even of failing, the fear of success, the fear of the pressure of like if I make it and the things work out for me. And faith is that thing that kind of comes through solid for me now. It's been a 3-year foundation of building everything. Like I put everything on Christ. I'm like, this is, if I can't run it through him, like I can't be here. But one thing I learned to be true is you faith and fear can't coexist. You can't have both. They cannot physically even manifest in your body the same. So I had to make a choice. Is it going to be for that faith, or am I giving into the fear? And so when something starts to scare me, how can I turn that around and I just give it to God? I will never understand how people move in their lives without that faith, because if I had to carry it all, I'd be in the human slump forever.
so much. I love what you said. I so believe that. Whatever, they always, a lot of people don't like to say the word God, but early on in Judaism, their God was Yahweh, and that's He who has no name. So I said, don't put a name to it. But if I hadn't had, I would not be here. I would be gone. During the time I had problems with my addiction, I begged God to save me. He gave me kidney failure. He said, I'm going to make you so sick, you won't want to do
You
this
won't want to
anymore.
do it.
Uh-oh. I was praying one night and I said, please let me help. Help me drink. I can't go on like this. And I heard no. I heard that. Brandon, I heard, haven't you had those moments?
Oh, yes, a huge moment when, I burned my whole life down at that moment. I was looking for that spiritual connection, and I ended up down the path of the devil. And I thought, because I'm praying to God, it's good, right? So I got into all the woo stuff, all the new age stuff, the card reading, the Reiki. I'm doing Reiki and I'm calling in spirits. And I mean, I literally like I'm sitting in a call with someone just like we're talking right now. Something crazy came over me and I'm like, I'm dying. I walked away from the computer screen. I went to tell my husband, I'm like, I'm dying. And he's looking at me because I'm talking, I'm walking. There's nothing physically wrong, but something was so wrong. And that was it. God was like, you're done. That was the devil, you're done. And that was it. I dropped the coaching business. I burned everything down to the ground. I'm like, okay. That's it.
Me.
Yes, he speaks.
He does.
He's
He
he
does.
speaks if we're willing to listen. And wow, your life experience. I'm already excited because I hope you've captured like everything in a book. Like it's probably going to be several books to capture your life story, because I just love this. And the fact that you're not stopping. Audiobooks are very fun, by the way. That I would say, recording my books is still to date one of the top greatest experiences ever. It was so much fun.
You hear yourself. All of a sudden, you hear
Yeah.
all different people at all different times. My audiobook is, I'm working on it with my grandson, is the tire swing. And
Yeah.
a little girl's voice comes there, tears choking you that you
Yeah.
can't. I mean, isn't that amazing?
It's
It's
fun.
like all those people that are inside of you,
Yeah.
and God's got a path.
He
He's
does.
got several. Go get them.
With all of your books, Nancy, is there something, I'm just curious because you cross multi-genres, is there something that stays consistent in all of your storytelling? Is there something that kind of anchors you to the projects that somebody might miss if they didn't know?
All the books,
All the books.
even the orphans, all of the books, there is forgiveness. Listening is important, and there's always somewhere a good ending somewhere. I try and find that. Even if it's kind of a scary ending, there are good parts of it. So I've always felt that I needed that, even in the children's books. My great granddaughter, Isla and the Imaginary Iguana, she's 7 and she's going on 20. And
Oh, I got one of those.
her name is ISLA. And one day she put her hands on her hips. She said, "I'm Isla, and you don't say the S."
Ooh.
And that gave you her personality
Yeah.
and all about it. And I said, and of course, it's not an iguana, it's an alligator, grandma. Okay,
No.
but they had to have the eyes in it. But there's a good end to that.
Yeah.
He said, "Oh, I cried and I did have had a fit because I wanted the real iguana." And I said, "That's okay. We all cry and we have fits." And I said, "But you got over it.
Yeah.
And you got what you wanted
Yeah.
anyhow." So, life sometimes gives you it and sometimes it doesn't. Just brush it off and go get another one.
Exactly. What is something that you've written that surprised you about yourself?
It surprised me, Brandon, that I led in any way. I was diagnosed with Pavlov's dog syndrome. And I told the doctor, I said, "You mean I salivate when you ring a bell?" He said, "No." He said, "What you do is retreat. Your eyes go down. You take 2 steps back if you feel attacked. I can feel attacked if you don't say hi to me in the morning." Okay, so I had to, that would have stopped me, and I had to overcome that. And he gave me meditation, guided imagery, journaling, talking to someone, even if they don't want to listen. My God, he listens.
He
I
listens.
he has to. And even if he gets frustrated or laughs at me, I don't care. I want him to hear me. And then somewhere down the line, the message comes, and I have to be willing to listen to it. So that's my thing.
I think I have him face palming like all day, every day. He's like, "Oh, Brandon. Brandon." So that's I just know.
I love that. I love that.
We are coming up on our time, and I hate to end this conversation, but I'm gonna ask you a final question here. And then make sure people like let us know where we can find you, where we can find your books, how we could follow your work, how I could become a stalker now because I am just obsessed with you. So my last question, Nancy. So your life right now, if it was a book, what genre would it be? And why is that where it would fit?
Flying to Jesus. Flying to Jesus. I had about I almost died once when I had my daughter. I had this experience in the transition. I was there watching me. I wanted to fly. You have nothing stopping you, nothing at all. So flying to Jesus is where I want to go, for
I
sure.
love that.
Thank you.
Where can we find you and your books if
I
we
have a
want
new
to?
website. It's www.nancyjasonensley. That's all one, word dot com. And that has all my books on it, a summary of each, my author bio, and a much younger picture of me, by the way. And then, and also, it will direct you to Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Austin Macaulay, Goodreads, all the different places. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I think I'm on YouTube. I'm not too sure. I haven't delved into that much. But you can link on the bottom of those, and then eventually they'll
Perfect.
have my picture talking with and my husband next to me, who was just a hoot. I thought he was taking a nap, so here he is in the video.
Oh, that's great. I
Wake
love it.
up! So all of that, I'm hoping that my books will now be in Barnes and Nobles because I needed the LCCN
Nice.
to be able to do that. And
Okay.
I'll come to you if you want me to give a talk,
Love that.
have a book reading, libraries all over. So
Yes.
hopefully that will be on my website.
I love that.
Okay.
Nancy, this is the part of the show, for what it's worth, that I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you tell incredible stories, it's that you see them. You notice the things that people are overlooking, and you're reflecting on what moves people the most. The fact that you have turned real life and all of your experiences into something with meaning, like you're making this meaningful, and the fact that you have stepped into that faith and you do the scary stuff. You do the scary stuff. You continue to evolve. And take the chances. I think that's beautiful. You're not just creating, you're interpreting. I think that you are a gift to the world, and God bless anybody that gets to know you. I just think you radiate beauty and love and calm, and I love this perspective, this kind of awareness, everything that you've done, that's what makes your work matter. And I think the legacy that you've been building is inspiring. I mean, you just became a mentor to me. You are going to be the definition of, when I grow up, I want to be like Nancy. Okay, I love that. To everyone listening, you guys, your life is a story. Not someday, not later, but right now, and you get to decide, are you paying attention to it, or are you just moving through it? Because God is always doing something deeper than what you can see, even in the ordinary, even in your hard seasons, even in our human slumps, even in the moments that don't make sense. So I'm just saying, like, be present, be aware, and remember that your mess is your message. Even the small moments, the quiet seasons, the parts of your life that feel unfinished. That is where the meaning is built. If this episode speaks to you, please share it out. You know someone that Nancy needs to get to, and we can't do that without you. It's a very selfless move to share this so that her story can get the reach it needs. Make sure you guys get resourced in the show notes to get in touch with her and continue to watch her work. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, please come tell me why you're special. Nancy, you made my entire day, and I still have several interviews, but I'm like, who could top this? This was so much fun today.
You are delightful.
Thank
And
you.
God bless you for doing what you do and finding yourself.
Thank you.
Everybody else needs to find themselves and go write a book. You
I
can
agree.
do it.
Write a book,
Okay.
start the podcast, do the
Write a
same.
book. Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Have a blessed day.